Well, it's been a super fun service so far, but we don't want to just make this all about the fun and games. We want to have a valuable lesson from God's word as well. We're going to gear this hopefully toward all ages, so kids will enjoy it. Some kids are going to enjoy it more than others. And for you kids out there, I know sometimes it's hard to stay still and you're going to make some noise. That's perfectly fine. Not a problem at all. I want to ask you if any of you have had a time where you were ever really scared by something that turned out not to be a big deal. Anybody had a time where you were really freaked out with something and then you find out, oh, it's not a big deal? Raise your hand if you will admit to that, okay? Scared by something. I remember when I was a kid, we had this really creepy basement. I'm talking Home Alone, Kevin McAllister level creepy, where I did not want to go down there. The stairs creaked on the way down. There was no railing on either side. Anything could just reach up and grab you as you were walking down there, right? You get down to the bottom of that thing and it was kind of wet and it was cold and there were little spiders and creepy crawlies all over the place. But this was the place where we stored a lot of our stuff. And so every now and then, nobody else wanted to go down there either. Every now and then, I would get asked to venture down into the great unknown to retrieve some item of importance and bring it back up. And I would creep down the stairs, those creaky stairs, get down there, find whatever my objection was, the object of my quest was as soon as possible, and then rush back up the stairs. Because it was a creepy place. It was a scary place. I did not like that place. Now, eventually, we redid the basement, and it was a really nice workshop and storage area, and it was lovely and bright and had everything you could want. It was clean, it was dry, it was a wonderful basement, and it wasn't scary at all anymore. And then I'd go down there by myself all the time. The truth is, there was never anything scary about the basement. It just kind of freaked me out. Can anybody relate to that? You've been scared by something at some time, and man, it didn't turn out to be scary at all. And there was nothing scary about our basement. But sometimes, you know, fear can be a good thing. Sometimes fear keeps us from doing something that we shouldn't do, something that's dangerous, something that could hurt us, something that would not be a smart thing to do sometimes. But sometimes fear gets in the way of doing good things that we know we should do. Things that can actually be good for us, things that are challenging, things that can help us to grow, but we're still afraid to do them. And this goes for kids and adults, right? All of you can think of something that's a good thing that you know you should do, you ought to do, and yet you're afraid to do it. Sometimes it could be like you're asked to give a presentation and you're not used to that and it's an uncomfortable thing, but if you do it, it's gonna help you to grow. Sometimes it could be going to a new school or taking on a new job. It can be fearful to go in there for the first time, and yet once you get in there, you realize, oh, it's not so bad. Maybe you have a big test you have to take and you don't like taking tests and it's scary and it's anxiety and your palms get sweaty and you get in there, but then after you take it, it's like, whew, glad that's over with. Other things we can be afraid of are just as scary, maybe even more scary, but they're even more important. Like standing up for what is right when people want us to do what is wrong. Or admitting that we were wrong and that we need to change. That can be scary. Or going to someone to say how sorry we are that we hurt them or said something mean about them. Or telling the truth when it might get us into trouble. We always tell our kids, you're always gonna get in more trouble for a lie than if you tell us the truth about doing something wrong. And so it can be scary to tell the truth, but it's better to tell the truth. Sometimes the right thing can be scary to do. And that's when we need to have faith in God. We need to trust God to help us through those difficult and those scary times, to see us through that, believing that he's really in charge and that he's gonna work everything out for good in the end. That's what the Bible tells us. In Romans 8, 28, Paul says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, qualification, that doesn't mean it's all gonna be good right away. That doesn't mean it's gonna be good tomorrow, but he will work everything out for good eventually to those who love him. Well, our story today comes from Joshua chapters 3 and 4. That's where we're going to be. God's chosen people, the people of Israel, the Israelites as we call them, are traveling through the wilderness and they're going out of the wilderness, they're going into the land that God has promised them for a long time. But in order to get there, they have to cross the Jordan River. Now, I've been to the Jordan River. I've been in the Jordan River. It's quite nice, depending on the time of year and the location that you're at when you go. But where they were crossing and the time they were crossing was right after the winter snows on Mount Hermon had melted. And so much more water was rushing through the Jordan River that the Bible says its banks were overflowing with water. We don't know anything about what that's like in St. Louis. I know rivers that are just so high, they're overflowing. We know how dangerous rivers can be. We know, and kids, you need to know that some of the rivers around here are not okay to swim in because it can be really, really dangerous. That's what the Jordan River was like, overflowing with water. But in order for the people of Israel to get from the wilderness into the land God promised them, they had to cross the Jordan River, and there was no bridge, no way to get across. Here is what God told them. In Joshua 3, verse 10, he said, "Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you." I know those sound made up, but they're not. Those are real peoples. "Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall." Now, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and all the other ites were scary people who were into some really bad stuff. They rejected God, they worshiped idols, they did some really bad things, but those people had moved into the land that God had promised his people, the people of Israel. And God said that because of all the bad things those people had done, God was gonna use the Israelites to judge those people. That's what he had promised to do. But to get there, they had to cross the Jordan River, which was impossible. It was at its highest point. It was overflowing the raging waters. And this, God tells Joshua, was gonna be a sign that if he could get them across the river, he could help them with the bigger challenges to come. If he could get them across this river, which there was no way, humanly speaking, to cross, then you knew he was powerful enough to help them to face all of the challenges they were going to face in the promised land. So Joshua told the people what God wanted them to do, and they all went down to the river, and the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant, which was this box that had all the instructions from God. It had some special reminders of God's faithfulness and power in the past. And as the priests approached the river, they took a step and then another and then another. They got right up to the edge of the water. And the Bible says that as soon as their feet touched the waters upstream stopped flowing. And the water in front of them kept on flowing and went down to the Dead Sea. And the river just dried up right in front of them so they were able to cross to the other side. It was a miracle. It was a display of God's power that everyone who was there and saw it as they're watching from the side couldn't believe what was happening, but it was so obvious. This is supernatural. This is God at work for us. He's preparing the way for us. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. And anyone who saw it that day couldn't possibly ever forget or stop loving and obeying God, right? Could never happen, right? But that's exactly what happens. Over and over again, as we see God work in our life, as we see him be faithful, as we see him do incredible things for us, as we see him work in our heart, as time goes on, we forget. We forget what God did for us. We forget how he was faithful for us. And sometimes we forget what it means to be faithful to him and to follow his instructions. And so instead of facing down the enemies that God promises to help us conquer, sometimes we get stuck in these cycles of we forget. And then we get stuck in sin and we forget to follow God, to worship him, to live our lives according to the way he's taught us to live. And we get stuck in those cycles. The Israelites got stuck in those cycles too. God does not want us to get stuck in those cycles. He wants us to know that we can overcome those scary obstacles that are in front of us that he wants us to do. Those things that are good, that the Bible talks about, the things that we know he wants us to do, the things that are good for us to do, like standing up for what's right, doing the right thing even when other people want us to do what's wrong, like being willing to say we're sorry when we messed up, being willing to tell the truth when we did something that maybe was wrong and we're gonna get in trouble for it. All of those good things for us to do, God wants us to be able to overcome that fear. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to trust in him and trust that he will work it all out for good to those who love him. God talked to the people of Israel about fear. And he talks to us today about fear. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God.
I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. In other words, he's saying, I'm powerful. I'm strong. I will hold you up. I will take care of you. Don't be afraid. You're going to have to go through some challenges. You're going to have to go through some difficult times in life, but I will be there for you. That's what he told the Israelites. He said to Joshua, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those were God's promises to his people back then. Here are his promises to us today. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, which is kind of another word for fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. There are some things in life that are appropriate to be afraid of. There are some things that can hurt you, you know, touching a hot stove, playing with sharp things. There are some things you should be afraid of, right? That's not what he's talking about. Those are things that will get you into trouble. But for anything that God says in the Bible that we're supposed to do, any good thing that he wants us to do, even if someone may not like it, they may laugh at us, they may criticize us, they may not think we're cool, we're in the in crowd, but if it's a good thing that God wants us to do, he doesn't want us to be afraid of doing it. The Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline to do the things that he has called us and directed us to do. God wanted the people of Israel to know that he was going to help them conquer those enemies that were coming ahead. He didn't want them to be afraid of them. And so he wanted to do something to help them remember the crossing of the Jordan River as this moment where it was a test of their faith to get right up there, to get ready, to face that raging river, to know there's no way across, and then to see it just open up for them so they could walk across. And he wanted them to never forget that moment. He wanted them to tell their kids about it, how God was faithful to them and how he had power and how he was able to help them overcome this obstacle, so that not just so they remember what's in the past, but so they could remember that for the future, so they could know whatever challenge they faced ahead, God was gonna be there with them. He had the power to overcome. He had the power to do what was needed to get them through those challenges that were ahead. And that is why God took them through the river. And because he wanted them to remember this, and because he wanted them to pass this along to their children, he did something really, really interesting, very peculiar. And in order to act this out for you, I am going to need 12 volunteers, preferably under the age of 20. So I need hands raised, 12 people. I see one in the back right there. I see one right here. I see one in the middle of the aisle already walking up here. I see one right there standing up on top of somebody's shoulders. I see one in the back right there. I think that's Delaney. And what else? I see one right here. Come on up here, Hannah. And right in the back over there. Yes, come on up. What do I have now? 2, 4, 6, 7. You know, I don't think I got enough from over here. What are we gonna do? Oh, I got a jumper. Come on up, jumper. Yep. I got another jumper. Come on up. And I got another jumper. Okay, yes, you guys. Does that do it for us? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Yeah, I think we're good. Okay, we've got our 12. And even ones I didn't call for, but that's what I needed. So thank you. You're here. Perfect. Okay, you guys are gonna be my helpers. And actually, I need you to come join me on stage. Can you come up here with me? Can you give them a round of applause for their boldness, their courage, for not being afraid? Way to go, guys. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm gonna read some verses for you, and then I need you to help me act out what's in these verses. Are you up for that? Can you do it? Okay, this is from Joshua chapter 4. We're gonna read verses 1-7. Here's what happened. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, the river. Carry those stones out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. Here's why. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. That is what God had them do. He had them go get some big rocks and pile them up into a pile so that any time people were walking by there with their kids, with their families later on, they could see that and the kids would go, hey, Dad, why is there a pile of rocks sitting there? Who put that there? And they could use that as a reminder to tell the story of here is how God was faithful to us and here's why we are faithful to him. He did this so that we wouldn't be afraid of the challenges that were coming in front of us. And you know what? That's still true today. We don't have to be afraid of the challenges in front of us because we have a God who cares about us. He loves us. He's gonna see us through it. He works all things out for good to those who love him. And so we love God. We're gonna be faithful to him. We're not fearful, and he's gonna be faithful to us. That's what that was about. So now, all 12 of you are representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel, and I need you to build a memorial of stones. Okay, can you do that for me, act that out? And to help you out, yeah, you've already figured it out, haven't you, Owen? All right, so I need six of you right here to go to that side of the stage over there, and the six of you are gonna go over here. Find yourself a rock. Bring it over here, once you got it, and start building your memorial right there. Go ahead, stack them up, however you wanna do it. It's not a science experiment. And there is no competition or prizes. Parents, we have discovered the engineers in the family. Good leadership qualities on display here. They don't all have to be on top of each other either. It could have like a cup on the bottom. They don't have to balance. You got it. You did pick the heaviest one. There you go. It's like we've been transported to the science museum. You know what? While they're figuring that out, I'm gonna share with you what happens next. And we'll see if they can get us a memorial sculpture by the time we're done with the next few verses. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what did these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. Did you get it? Way to go. That's perfect. Hey, good job, guys. Way to go. Good job. Good job. Good job. Excellent. Are you proud of your creation? That's fantastic because, you know, it's so unique. No one would walk by this and think, oh, that just happened on its own, right? It had to be people that set that up that way. And so when families walk by it, they will say, and here's the thing, we're gonna leave this up forever. This will never leave the stage. No, I'm just kidding. It may have to come down. But every time people would see the real one in Israel, they would say, hey, here's why this happened, kids, because of what God did for us. I wanna thank you so much for coming up here and figuring this out. You guys can go ahead and have a seat, but thank you. Good job. So Joshua had them set up this memorial, and then he says this about God. He says, he did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, of course, you probably know that when the Bible talks about fearing God, it doesn't necessarily mean in the sense of I'm afraid of God. It's a word that communicates the idea of respect and obedience. I respect God, I will obey God, and that's what it means to fear God in this sense. God wanted these families in Israel to have this visible reminder so that every time they saw it, they would be able to remind their kids, hey, we respect God, we obey God, we are faithful to him. We're not fearful of the challenges in this world because he is gonna be with us through all of that. And we can trust him through all of the difficult times that come ahead because our God is powerful and he overcame the Jordan River. And we saw it with our own eyes. And so we set this up so everyone would remember and not forget that this happened. Listen, there are gonna be times in your life that are so incredibly difficult. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're gonna face really challenging times in your life. Times when you're forced to choose between doing the right thing or the easy thing or the convenient thing. Times when you're gonna have to choose between, am I gonna respect God? Am I gonna obey him? Even though everyone around me seems to be doing something different, you're gonna have to make those choices of whether you're gonna be faithful or whether you're gonna be fearful of what people think or fearful of doing the right thing or fearful of telling the truth. God knows that we need visible reminders of how he's been faithful to us so that we can remember to be faithful to him. Reminders that point to times when he's protected us, when he's cared for us, when he's healed us, when he showed us his power in some way, when he's shown us his love and his comfort in some way when we really, really needed it. And that is why when you came in today, we asked every family to grab a little stone like this. And what I want you to do, if you don't have a stone like this, send a representative from your family, or if you're an individual, go back. They're on the tables in the back. You can go right now and grab yourself a stone and a marker. And what we would like you to do is to think of a word or two that represents a time in your life when God has been faithful to you, when he's shown his power, when he's given you protection, when he's cared for you, when he's loved you in some way. If you don't have one, go now. Go to the back and grab one. Grab a marker too. As a family, you can talk about this. You can talk about what is a time in our family when God has shown his love for us. Can you think of that? And just discuss that for a couple of minutes together. Choose a word or two or three if you can fit it, and write that on your stone of remembrance. We'll do that right now, and then we'll get back together. Hopefully everyone has figured out something to put on their rock and take with them and put it somewhere. I just had a great conversation with my son about a time in our life that I asked him what he thought it should be, and he picked the same thing I did immediately because we've talked about it many times. Parents, we need to be passing on stories of faith to our kids. And even better, if we can have some kind of visible reminders, maybe it's a picture on the wall, maybe it's an item in your house, something that you can look at and say, hey, this is a reminder of a time that God was faithful to us, that we saw his power, we saw his healing, we saw his comfort, maybe through the people of God that rallied around us, something like that. Pass on these stories to your children, to your grandchildren, so they know about the faithfulness of God. This is what God wanted the Israelites to do. And the Israelites are a perfect example of how you cannot force faith from generation to generation, right? There are lots of generations that rose up and they forgot about the things that God did for them. And they forgot to be faithful to God. And that's why we have to be so intentional to talk about it with our kids and share those stories of faith with them. Whether it's a little rock like you're walking away with today or something else that you use to pass on those stories to your children. And kids, remember the times that God has been faithful to you. Maybe even set up some kind of a little reminder, a little memorial that you have of, wow, God saw me through this difficult time. So I know that he's gonna see me through the challenging times ahead. I'm gonna ask you all, if you would, to just bow your heads with me. We're gonna pray together and ask God to help us remember all of the things he's done for us. Lord, you've been faithful to us again and again. You've given us so many reasons to follow and trust and love you, and yet we are forgetful people and we are sinful people. And I'm speaking for myself here, God, when I forget sometimes the wonderful things you've done and how you've shown your protection and your care for me over and over again. You have been faithful, even when I have not always been faithful. And I'm sure that's true for everybody here. So Lord, I pray that you would give us more and more reminders and help us to be diligent to remind each other of how you've worked in our lives, so that as we face all of the difficulties ahead, challenges with our jobs and with school and with friends and with all sorts of things that come before us, health issues, Lord, we can trust in you through all of it and be faithful and not fearful. And we thank you for everything you do in our lives and will do in the future and how you'll work it all out for good. Help us to believe and trust in that promise. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.